would you read this scriptural affirmation? It's from Isaiah 48. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was. There am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit have sent me.
Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee the prophet, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go.
Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea.
Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before me.
Go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans. With a voice of singing declare ye, tell this, utter it, even to the end of the earth.
Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob.
And they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out.
There is no peace,
oh Lord, if we are not wicked, it is because you have changed us. You have made us. You have delivered us. If we have been changed, if we are yours, it's because you called us. And today we're just calling out to you, asking that you would show yourself present in this place because you are here with your children. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. We give you everything, Lord, and we ask that today we might worship you in spirit and in truth. We need to hear from you. We need to live lives that are full of a sense of knowing you. Lord, have your way. You are welcome here. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Very, 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 very good. He's wonderful. He's great. There's none other like him, and we can trust that he is coming again. We wait with anticipation. We wait. We want to see him. We want to know him. We want to feel his very presence. Oh, our God. He's good.
Amen.
He's good, and he's good all the time. Father, today, will you open our hearts and our eyes and to see you in a deeper, fuller way. Today, will you open our minds and help us to get it? Will you show us your goodness and grace and so that you might be glorified, so that your kingdom might be expanded, so that we might make much of you because you are worthy of all glory. You are worthy of our honor. You are worthy of our praise. You've created all things, and for your pleasure were and are all things created. Oh, Lord, today let us be for your pleasure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This scripture that we're going to look at today is the 49th chapter of Isaiah, but it's really exciting because it's kind of like this conversation that the Son, Jesus, is having with the Father. Isaiah is like the gospel in the Old Testament. It just reveals so much about how Jesus operates, how the Spirit of God works through Jesus, how the Father has ordained things to be. And it's just something that gives us something that we can think about and something that we can concentrate on. It says here in verse 1 of chapter 49, listen, Listen. Pay attention, would you? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen, O isles, unto me. He's talking about everywhere. He said, listen to me, you that are far away. Listen to me, you that are right here. Listen to me, you in between. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. Just think of that. You remember when Jesus was born of a virgin. There was a man there that said, oh, thank you, Lord. I've lived to see our Savior. There was a woman there that said, yeah, this is him. This is him. From the womb, you knew that he was the Savior, and it was being proclaimed. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. He was Emmanuel, God with us, our Savior. He is Jesus. We've known all along if we would make, if we just think about it, if we would just apply, if we would just allow the Spirit of God to speak to us, they knew. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. I don't know about you, but I think some of the things that Jesus said cut deep. The Word of God is quick and powerful. I mean, sharp, able. Sharper than a two-edged sword, even to the dividing of soul and spirit. The word will cut you up. The word will slice and dice. It really will do a job on you if you will be responsive. You know, the problem with us is that we're cut up so much that we don't even notice it anymore. The blade is so sharp that our head's been chopped off and we're still walking around like a chicken. You know how they rip the head off of a chicken and the chicken's still walking around. We need to realize that God is working on us. He's cutting us. He's making this word of God is amazing when truly rightly divided, there is something so amazing to see, and it's consistent from Genesis to Revelation. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, in the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft in his quiver. In his quiver hath he hid me. I really like that imagery. Because not only is he a sword, but he's like a well-polished arrow. A well-polished arrow. An arrow that is prepared to do what it's supposed to do. Prepared, ready, made ready to hit the mark. And he's right there. Right there in the quiver. I feel like one that's kept in God's quiver. I like the feeling of being there, weapons, tools used by the Master, stored with other weapons that we might rejoice together in the handiwork of God. When I look at you, I say, wow, what handiwork, what goodness, what grace. What an amazing thing. As messed up as we can be, he uses us. Yet even in our sometimes broken state, sometimes when we don't get it right, sometimes when we don't feel so good about ourselves or the situation that we're in, we still recognize that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The human body and mind are such complex entities that it's mind-blowing to consider how all of these things are working together, but we see that these things are working together and we recognize that as people, as individuals, we are working together as part of the body of Christ. If we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we're like a cell in the body. We're like an organ. We're a part. We've got our thing to do that's separate from everybody else's thing, but we're doing it out there, and yet it feeds everybody else, and everybody else feeds into us. God is good. God has got us working together even when we don't act like it. Even when we don't realize it. Sometimes you feel so far away. Sometimes you feel so distant. Sometimes you feel so disconnected from everything else. But that's what happens when you get busy with life. That's what happens when stuff is happening in your life. There's so much going on. There's so much that it distracts you. There's so much and the problem is sometimes when we get like that, we forget that we're not the only thing. We're a part of something bigger. Do you feel like you're a part of something bigger? Do you feel like your life has real meaning and that you don't have to make that meaning? You just have to live into that meaning? You are made for a purpose. One of my favorite scriptures is, by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can't boast. But you are created for a purpose. You are created to something. And God wants to fit you into that place in such a snug and comfortable way so that you might be all that you have been created to be. And there might be a reality in your mind that even though the world sees the situation that you're in as hard, or the world looks at you and can't figure you out, but you know, you're just a tool in the hand of a master. So he said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel. It's interesting, through this, this is one of the servant songs. You see that there's several different servant songs throughout the book, and this particular song, you wonder, is he talking about everybody of Israel? Is he talking about the geographic Israel? Is he talking about the ethnic Israel? I think in this particular case, he's talking about Jesus. He says unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, now listen, if Jesus can feel this way, it's okay if you feel that way sometimes too. Because he says, then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord and my work with my God. I don't know if you tell the truth. You would probably say that there are some days when you think you've done everything right and it doesn't work. You ever have that time that the thing you prayed for didn't come true? The person that you cared for died. You know, and it's funny what'll throw you over the edge, you know. You know, people die all the time. Things don't happen all the time. But maybe your dog dies and you're just wrecked. I get so tired of walking Harley. I used to get so tired of that. You get up early in the morning, this dog wants to go somewhere. And we would walk 2 or 3 miles. And it was cool. But we did it whether it was raining or snowing or sleeting. And by the way, no matter what you hear, I do not want another dog. Oh, let me be very, 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 very clear. But when Harley died, I shed tears. Like, man, I look longingly down the path sometimes. We don't always get our way. We don't even always know what we want. I was ready to be through with the dog until he died. Don't know why I lingered there. Forgive me. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord and my work with my God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb. He knew me. To be his servant. To bring Jacob again to him. He was called to bring the people of Israel together again, to bring them into a place where they were rightly serving God because they had messed up so bad and in so many ways that God had punished them, and they probably felt that God would never ever care for them again. They'd messed up. They had been adulterous. They had been murderous. They had been foolish. They had been idolaters. They had been so many different things, and it didn't seem like it was any way in the world that God still cared for them. But he did care for them because he brought someone to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, even though you can't see that he cares, even though you can't see that he could possibly redeem this situation, can't possibly fix that person, can't possibly make it right, he says, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. The best is yet to come. God wants to do some great things in our midst. The best is yet to come. He's still working on us. If you are upright and breathing today, the best is yet to come. God wants to work in our lives. God wants to change us. God wants us to be what he would have us to be. The best is yet to come. Though Israel be not gathered, doesn't look like everything is the way that it should be. Even though it looks like that, the best is yet to come. God shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. He shall be my strength. I know that I know that he's good. I know that I know that he's still on the throne. I know that he has my best. I know and I trust him, not my eyes, not my ears, not my strength, not my feet. I trust the living God. He liked that because he says, you know what? It's a light thing that thou should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. You thought you had a big assignment. That's a small thing. And to restore the preserved of Israel. That's a small thing. I'm going to give you a little bit more to do. I'm going to give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. God is so very good that he gives us more to do. He gives us more influence. He gave Jesus more. He gave the suffering servant more. He gave this servant more to do, that we would all, that you and I could be saved, that you and I could be changed, that we Gentiles could be delivered, that we could become a part of the body of Christ. He's a light to our life. He's a lamp to our path. He's God all by himself. And through him, by confessing, when he calls us and we agree with him that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we believe it in our heart so much so that it changes our behavior, demonstrating that we actually have been changed. When we know that we've been changed, God has delivered us. He's called us to himself. That thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer. Redeemed, bought back, pulled out of, redeemed. The Redeemer of Israel, the Israel, the people of God. And the Holy One, to him whom man despiseth. People don't like our Jesus. You know, you can kind of say, well, praise God, but this Jesus thing I'm not too sure about. Just sounds like a bunch of hooey to me. People don't care for him, whom man despiseth, to him whom the nations abhorreth, to a servant of rulers. But see, people start to get it. Kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship. More and more and more people are going to see. Princes shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful. He that has begun a good work in you shall complete it. He's God. Because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. He will choose you. He has chosen us. We are his. When that dawns on you, you will celebrate. I'm his. When that dawns on you, you will say, wow. When that dawns on you, you might get excited. I don't know. When that dawns on you, you might think you're singing Elijah again. When that dawns on you, God is doing something in us. God is chosen us. He has called us. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee. He's heard your cries. And in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee. He's going to keep you through eternity and give thee for a covenant to the people. You're a promise. You're in a a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. You're a part of the body of Christ. You've got a role in this. He wants to work through you. He wants to work in you. He wants to work by you. Now listen, it won't happen if you don't live into what God has called you to do. We're really stuck on this playing too much. We worry about the stuff that doesn't mean anything. We get so tied into all of the happenings of every day. I like to call it surface complexity. There's stuff out there and it means something, and it's important, and it's on the top of things, and we see it every day, and we get so very distracted by it all. Distracted, distracted, distracted. Oh, what if we don't get this? What if we do get this? What if they do this? What if they don't do this? What if, what if, what if? Why do we have these fears? Why do we allow this false evidence to appear real? Why do we think that this stuff is in charge? Because we've made it an idol. Because we believe it's the answer for our lives. The stuff that has most people upset over this last year, it's just idol worship. And we got to stop it. Our concern is our Father. Our concern is what He wants. Our concern is His will. We spend so much time trying to adjust Him to our will. We have prayer meetings and I have to laugh. I don't. I just had to laugh. And I think you'll get this. Just looking at my Facebook page yesterday, there were all kinds of interesting reactions to the current events. Just all over the page. I kid you, there's a friend of mine, great preacher, man of God. He is celebrating the goodness of God and declaring what God has done. I look at another preacher, friend of mine, great man of God, and he's moaning and dejected and frustrated by how far we've fallen. It's all junk, guys. I really told myself I was not going to go here. I lied. This is not our home. Stuff is important. And opinions are good and bad and different, and ideas and concepts are things that we need to care for. But when our expressing our opinion drives us to anger and fear and unkindness, then we're missing something. The Bible clearly tells us to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. The Bible tells us that we are to love one another. And it doesn't say love one another when the other one gets it right. It says love one another. We must ferociously love one another. We've got to hold on to each other, because if we know Jesus Christ, we are the body of Christ, and we cannot have the body ripping off and tearing at each other. We must love one another. Government does not have a heaven or hell for you. It may feel like heaven or hell, but it is not. Our job is to lead men and women, boys and girls, into a deeper and fuller, richer relationship with Jesus Christ. That is what we are to be about. When we forget that, we become a tool of Satan. So, verse 8 once again. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee. In a day of salvation have I helped thee. I will preserve thee. Don't you believe that? And give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritage, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, those locked up in their sins, those caught in bondage, those who can't get free, we are to be able to talk to them and tell them, go forth to them that are in darkness. Show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that hath the mercy on them. And Lord, you need to have mercy on our nation. Those that have mercy on them. Shall lead them. You want to lead? Have mercy. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. We need to guide people to life. We need to bring people to life. And I will make all my mountains a way. It may look like a mountain out there. It may look like something we can't possibly get over, but God's going to make a way. In my highways shall be exalted. Those low places that we never thought we'd be able to crawl through, or are too deep for us, he's going to smooth it out. Behold, These shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim, from everywhere, everywhere we're going to see people come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Everywhere, everywhere, if we will just allow ourselves to be used by God, everywhere, everywhere we're going to see people come to know Jesus. Sing, O heavens, sing, sing. Sing, O heavens, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Are you hurting? God is with you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, for he has done great things. Sing it. He has done great things. Don't you believe it? He has done great things. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He's in charge. He's still on the throne. You are as safe today as you were yesterday, and safer you'll be tomorrow because you're drawing closer to him. He's calling us up to a place where we can have his vantage point and live in such a way that we can be a beacon on this hill to show people to Christ. Amen. It's time to be done with lesser things. I love the Lord. He heard my voice. He's inclined his ear unto me and to you. Let's trust him and not the stuff. Not saying the stuff's not important, but it's secondary to him. This didn't go where I expected it to, and I hope that you will be a little indulgent with me today. Chapter 50, just this, I hate it when preachers do this. Yes, this is the end. Chapter 50, there's an interesting thing. This chapter 50 is a very important scripture for me personally. God has used it as my sense of calling. I know it's not about me, but it feels like it's about me. And sometimes we don't feel as effective as we think we should be. And we're kind of frustrated about the situation. We're kind of frustrated that it's not happening the way that we thought. It's maybe a little frustrating that this place isn't filled with people, that we have to work on some kind of COVID thing because there's so many people that want to get in. Maybe it's frustrating that all kinds of things are happening. People aren't saved, or people are not doing this or not doing that. But then God speaks to us in chapter 50, starting at verse 1. And he reminds us this. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement? Did I kick you out of the family? Did I say, get away from me? Whom have I put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I sold you? Did I have to sell you off or something? Do you feel like you're not a part of me? Do you feel like you don't have connection with me? Well, there is a thing that we have going on here. There is a thing. It says, behold, I want you to pay attention here. It's for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves. He didn't leave us. We left him. Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? Why aren't we praying? Why aren't we sharing it? Why aren't we witnessing? Why aren't we doing acts of mercy? When I called, was there none to answer? Do you think I don't have the power? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Do you think that if I tell you to share and witness that I can't get it done and nothing's happening, that it cannot redeem, or I have no power to deliver? Do you think that somehow I can't get this thing done? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh, and because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. God's saying, I clothe the heavens with blackness. I make sackcloth their covering. And then he's having a conversation with the servant. And I think he's speaking to me, and maybe to you as well. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. I should speak a word in season to him that is weary. To him that is weary. Sometimes I'm tired. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear is the learned. It's time for us to dig deep into the word of God. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, I'll do what it takes, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who's my adversary? Come on. Come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who's he that shall condemn me? Lo, they shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. And it goes on. It reminds us that we can't do it ourselves. We must allow him to do it through us. So this day, will you allow God to be God? Will you allow him to have his way in our lives? Will you recognize that it's okay to surrender to him? Rest in the Lord and believe that he can get it done. Would you bow your head and pray with me? Father, I'm grateful. I know that I'm not adequate. And that's what's so great about this whole thing, that you can use even broken pieces like me. So, Lord, I just ask that you would bless and help us to be able to look to the hills from whence cometh our help, to look to you for all the answers, to look to you for the safety of our nation, to look to you for the safety of our family, to look to you for the upbuilding of our homes, to look to you for all that we need to do what you would have us to do, which is to go out and make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. Thank you for giving us that power, that call. Thank you that you're working in our midst. We receive it, Lord. We receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.